You'll take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Such a privilege to be here. And I wish your pastor and his wife was here. I wish you loved them and appreciate them so much. And I'm not just saying this because I'm here. I would say it anywhere. You're blessed to have the preacher you've got. And, he is a tremendous man. He's been a blessing to us for years and years and years, and we haven't been around him a whole lot. Just see him, you know, once in a great while and get to fellowship a little bit, but we really appreciate them, and I hope you do too as well. Acts chapter number 3, we'll look there for just a few minutes this morning. If we can, I want you to take your, bring your attention to verse number 1, and we'll start reading there. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." That's as far as we want to read this morning. We'll have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I pray that you please, Lord, speak to every heart, Lord. I don't know the needs of this people, Lord, this morning. No doubt different needs here. Maybe someone's not saved. Everyone here is saved. I don't know. Perhaps their children not saved, but you know all about that. I pray that you'd please, God, work and move. But in the hearts of the saints, would you please help us this morning? You please let these truths come to us, Lord, and reveal to us the truth that is here to help us in the days to come. And in this day, in this hour, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to bring your attention, if we can, to verse number 13 this morning. Verse number 13. So if you'll look there in that verse. In this passage of Scripture, Peter and John, of course, going into the temple, very familiar passage of Scripture. And when the lame man's healed, all the people come running to see what was going on, because they realized it was the lame man that sat at the gate. And so Peter saw that opportunity, all those people come together, and so he took that opportunity to preach to them. And in doing so, in his message, he is speaking to them, and in verse number 12, he said, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel." He's speaking to the Jews here. But he goes on to say in verse number 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. As Peter is starting his message to preach to this group of people, of course, he goes and deals with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they had given up to be killed, and even cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But in doing so, as he is showing them where the power came from, who's responsible for this man rising up to walk, he said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers. Here he is letting them know who he's talking about, who he is referring to when he is speaking to them about God. Now, there are many so-called gods in our world today. Paul was at Athens and he saw Mars Hill, and he saw all those different idols, and he saw the idol to the unknown God. And so in that passage of Scripture, Paul deals with them and tells them about the God that created all things, to specify and to identify who he's speaking about. Here in this passage of Scripture, Peter takes this approach and he says, the God I'm talking about is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, which they would be familiar with being Jews. But he is specifying who he's dealing with, who he's talking about. But in doing so, in referring to Jehovah God, and to referring to letting them know who he's specifically talking about, he mentions this, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. These men helped him identify the God that he was referring to, which is the only God. There is only one God. There's only ever been one God. Now, men have made gods to themselves, which are gods with a little g, amen. But in this passage of Scripture, to identify Jehovah God in his message to them, he says the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. If you'll look at Exodus chapter number 3, when God is speaking to Moses from the burning bush, the Lord himself said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. God introduced himself to Moses in this passage, in that passage of Scripture, in the burning bush, and let him know exactly who he was by referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In showing this to these people, we see that Peter references these men without apology, without hesitation, to identify the God he's dealing with. But may I say, these men weren't perfect men. As much as we look up to them, as much as the Bible tells us about them, these men were not perfect men. So I want to deal with this thought this morning more than mistakes, because these men had made mistakes in their life. You could call them sins if you want to. I'm not really referring to that. If that's the way the Lord speaks to you about it, that's fine. But there were in essence sins, because they did some things that were wrong. But I'm trying to broaden that into even simple mistakes that we make. As we try to serve the Lord and go forward for God, sometimes we just make mistakes in our life. Sometimes we don't follow God like we should. Sometimes we go in disobedience to what we know to do. But nevertheless, when he refers to these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I want us to understand that these men had made mistakes, great mistakes in their life, but there was more to them than just their mistakes. When we hear about David, automatically many times we think of Bathsheba. And we think about that great sin that David committed, but even in that situation, David was more than just that sin that he committed. The sin of Bathsheba and Uriah and all those things there were bad, and they were terrible. But there was more to David than just that little aspect of his life. I'm not belittling sin. Don't get me wrong. We should abstain from sin and even the appearance of evil. We all do everything we can to live holy and righteous. But even at our best, trying to do that, sometimes we just make mistakes. Sometimes we fail. And in looking at this, knowing that these men had made mistakes, knowing that they had done things in their life that were not right and were even wrong, we see that even now that Peter is referring to these men and identifying the God that they served by the men that he mentions here. He said, I am dealing with this thought this morning as he preached. He said, I'm dealing with the God, and I want you to know which God I'm dealing with. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. So we see these men here mentioned, and we are all familiar with them. We know all the stories about them. We've heard them all of our lives. If you've been in church very long at all, but I want us to notice this morning that in the midst of their mistakes, there was more to these men than just those mistakes. And actually, after their mistakes, they did things for God. Now I will say this. There's some things that we can do, sins that we can commit, mistakes in our life that can disqualify us for certain things. That's unfortunate. But it does not mean you can't get right with God and serve God in every capacity other than that you can. I know some men I love dearly and have known for I guess most of my Christian life that have done things that's disqualified them from preaching. I still love those men. And I wish that they would just realize what the scripture says and serve God in the capacity that they can. Sometimes our mistakes and failures and even sins can disqualify us from certain things, but it doesn't disqualify us from getting right with God and living for God. So let's look at this for just a few moments this morning if we can and see about these particular men. He says in verse number 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. The man Abraham is a interesting character. But we see as he goes on in his life and is doing the things that he's doing, as the Bible records, he comes to a place where he is fearful that they will see his wife and think that she is his wife and they'll kill him to take her. And if you'll remember the story, he asks her, say, you are my sister, so they will leave me alone. They won't kill me. And in doing so, when that came about, certainly he said he was her sister. She was his sister. And they took her away from him. And God dealt with them and dealt with a lot of things in that situation and protected them. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, in the midst of Abraham's life, he doubted God and he lied. He doubted that God would take care of him and tell him the truth. And he lied about his situation with his wife. And you and I must understand that Abraham was not a perfect man. And he was a man here that had made a mistake, a grave mistake. But not only does he make a mistake in chapter number 12, if you'll read the scripture, he also makes the same mistake in chapter number 20. He does the same thing again. And you and I, going through our lives, we make mistakes and we feel like we failed the Lord and we do things and we feel like that's it for us, but that's not it for us. We can get right with the Lord. We can get forgiveness. We can start doing things right and live for God and accomplish something for the Lord. If I was asked for a show of hands this morning, how many of us, since we've been saved, have made mistakes and failed and done things that we wish we hadn't have, probably every hand would go up, including mine. But it does not mean that we're done from living for the Lord. And in this passage of scripture, if you look back in Genesis 12 and Genesis 20, you'll notice that in both of these situations, he made a terrible and a grave mistake. But in the Bible, in certain passages of scripture, it talks about Abraham and it talks about him in a different light. It says that Abraham believed God. In Romans chapter number 4, it says Abraham believed God. Galatians chapter number 3, it says that Abraham believed God. James chapter number 2, it says these very words, Abraham believed God. Did he always believe God in every situation? No. But I'm telling you that one circumstance in his life, or those two actually in his life, did not negate the fact that he believed God in many other situations in his life.
And the scripture teaches us that Abraham believed God. I'm telling you, it's important that we understand that our mistakes don't identify who we are, because there's more to us and more to these men than their mistakes. We understand that in scripture, in Hebrews chapter number 11, it mentions Abraham. In the heroes of faith there, it said he believed God and had faith in God enough to step out and leave where he was at and follow God. He had enough God to take Isaac up on the mountain and was going to offer his own son. I'm telling you, Abraham was a man of faith, but in the midst of his faith and in the midst of him believing God, he made some mistakes. That wasn't all there was to Abraham. There was more to him than his mistakes. And after his mistakes, great things happened in his life. Abraham was a man that sought after God, that believed God in most circumstances of his life, but there was a couple that he didn't. And we see and know that now, and obviously these men knew that. Peter knew all about that when he identified the God of heaven by saying the God of Abraham. He knew that. But God was not afraid to be associated with Abraham. Because even God said, I am the God of Abraham. But he doesn't stop there. He said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac. Isaac was a man that's interesting in scripture. But I'm telling you, Isaac wasn't a perfect man either. Isaac was a man, unfortunately, that did the same thing his father did. Went into a land and was afraid for his life because his wife was so fair. And he told her that she was his sister. And he had committed the same mistake that his father did. And did the exact same thing. You'd think he might have learned from that. But we don't learn as good as we should, do we? Unfortunately. And here, Isaac doubted and lied as well in Genesis chapter number 26. We don't have time to read all these scriptures, but you know the stories. And in Genesis 26, Isaac did the same thing. He doubted God, that God could take care of him, had no faith that God could take care of that situation and protect them, and he lied about his wife. But that's not all there was to Isaac. Isaac was a man mentioned here in the scripture, just as was Abraham. But Isaac, after this happened, Isaac, after this took place, Isaac did things for the Lord, and the Bible records some of those things. Isaac was a man that went in and cleaned out the wells that his father had dug. Isaac was a man, the Bible said, that built an altar to the God of heaven. Isaac was a type of Christ in the scriptures. And I'm telling you, Isaac was a wonderful picture in the scriptures of a man that had made mistakes, but the mistakes didn't identify him. He was known for more than just a mistake that he made. He was a man that had lived for God and served God, and did many things for the Lord, and in his life for God, he built an altar to the Lord. I wonder if you and I have, since we've felt like we've failed the Lord, the devil beats us down with those things, and he reminds us often of those things that we have done that we regret or we wish we hadn't have. Even if we've gotten them right with the Lord, we still are haunted by those things, and they hinder us from living for God. But Isaac, after he'd done the thing that he did, he went ahead and built an altar to God. He cleaned out the wells. He worked for God and accomplished something for the Lord. He didn't just let that one thing in his life determine the rest of his life for him and his family. We see that in this passage of scripture, he says the God of Abraham. Peter says the God of Abraham and of Isaac. Now the people he's preaching to know this about them too. They know about Abraham and what he did. They know about Isaac and what he's done. But yet he is not ashamed or afraid to identify the God that he is speaking of with these men. These men serve the same God that you and I serve today. Right. And here in this passage of scripture, we see that Peter is identifying the God he's speaking of when he's addressing these people of Israel. And he says the God of Abraham and of Isaac. But oh, don't forget, he didn't exclude Jacob. The patriarchs of our faith, the men, the fathers of our faith is what the Bible says. And it says here in this passage of scripture, it says the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Jacob was a man that we would say surely wouldn't even fit in this category, but nevertheless he does. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a liar. When his mother and he concocted the idea of stealing the birthright, you know the story, how she put on a skin on him to make him feel like he was hairy like his brother, and put on his brother's clothing so it'd smell like his brother. And he came to his father, and we understand this is what he said to him. He said, art thou my very son Esau? And Isaac and Jacob said, he said, I am. He lied to his own father. Jacob was a deceiver. And a liar. Yes, Abraham deceived by saying that about his wife, but we could almost understand why he feared for his life. We could kind of understand how Isaac might have done the same thing, feared for his life. We don't know what we'd do in certain situations. We talk big sometimes. I always said when I was growing up that if a man ever pointed a gun at me, I'd take it away from him and whip him. You know how you do when you're young, you know, say foolish things. Until I had a man stick a .38 in my chest, and I had a whole different idea at that point. My attitude changed toward that. We talk big sometimes. Oh, I would do this, and I would never do that. But we don't know what we'd do in some situations. We like to think we'd do right. But here, Jacob was it was different for him. He was just a deceiver. And he stole the birthright. We understand that situation. And he deceived and lied. But that wasn't all that Jacob was about. If you'll read the rest of his life, if you'll see how in chapter number 32 of Genesis, he wrestled with God. I'm telling you, God changed his life there. And God moved in his heart. And Jacob was a man that God changed him after his mistakes. Even Jacob built an altar. He built an altar to God. He talked with God. God used him. And God was not afraid to be identified with him, although he had made mistakes, although he had missed the mark in some occasions. Yet he got right with God and worked for God and accomplished things for God. And of all the history of time of man since that point to this, the God that we serve, especially in the Old Testament, the God in that aspect is known by the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. You would think God wouldn't even want to be associated with them, especially Jacob. God wouldn't want to, he'd just leave Jacob off. But God's identified. He's made known to men by the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. These men had faith in God. These men worked for God. These men trusted God. These men built an altar to God. These men had a relationship with God that many people can't say today. But these men weren't perfect men. And I believe we have people in our churches, they've made mistakes. They may have even gotten out to sin somehow for a short amount of time, and God dealt with them. And they've come back, maybe even got right with God, and they're letting that thing beat them down. They don't even feel like they can do like some of these this morning stood up and testified. Don't feel like you can accomplish anything for God. Don't feel like you can go on for God. But I'm telling you, when Peter here is addressing that entire congregation that gathered that day, that big crowd that came together to see the lame man, I'm telling you, Peter identified the God he was talking about by saying the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. How he identified God. In spite of their mistakes, in spite of their failures, in spite of things that we might look down on. But you know, it's awful easy to see everybody else's mistakes. It's not, we don't like to look at our own. That's just human nature, I guess. But if we'd take time to really concentrate on our own lives, we'd have to say we've made mistakes too. But in the midst of all that does not mean, friend, does not mean that we can't go on for God and accomplish things for God and work for God. The brother was saying in the Sunday school this morning, he said, this church, if you want to continue on for God, you're going to have to put some backbone in it and some work in it. You say, preacher, I'm not worthy to work. If you get right with God and you're saved, you are. Amen. You can work for God, serve God. All of us can't do everything else everybody else can do, but working together, we can get the work accomplished. It's a body. Every part of the body has a reason and a purpose. So I want to say to you this morning, the gist and thrust of my message is this. We look at these three men and we realize they're not perfect men. Matter of fact, that's one thing I like about the Bible. It doesn't just say all the good things. It shows you men like they are. It shows you their faults and their failures. Sometimes their deep sin. But it also shows us that that's not all there is to these men. These men were men that God could use and worked in their lives and is not afraid to be identified with. If God himself, I can see Peter doing it, I can see that's tradition, I can see it in other ways, but if God himself, in speaking to Moses from the burning bush, would identify himself with these three men, and let Moses know. Moses is wondering, what in the world's going on? Here's a bush that's not consumed with fire, and yet it's burning. And Moses approaches it, and God speaks to him. And as God is speaking to him, he identifies himself to Moses as the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. See, God's bigger than our mistakes, way bigger than our mistakes. And we are people that in the midst of all of our mistakes and difficulties in life can still walk with God and be used of God if we desire to do that. Now, there's some people who don't have any desire. They just come and sit and leave if they come at all. And maybe one of the reasons for that is you just don't feel like you're worthy to get involved, you're worthy to work, you're worthy to help in the work of God. You let some mistake in your life dictate the rest of your life. I just want to encourage you this morning. There's more to this thing than our mistakes. There's a God in heaven that can forgive mistakes and sins and failures and faults. There's a God that can work through all that and there may be some time, we don't look at it this way, you know, but there may be some time in our lifetime and in this present day that somebody may not know, what God are you talking about? I wonder if they could say, the God of Randy Bryson. I wonder if they could do that. Knowing that through the faults and failures of my life, yet I still want to live for God, serve God, and there's only one God I'm committed to, and that's the God of heaven, Jehovah God, and they could identify that God by me. But I'm going to tell you something. God did that in the Bible with these three men. Maybe you've committed some faults and failures or some mistakes or some sins in your life, and you're letting that hinder you from really getting involved in the work of the Lord. I encourage you this morning, get that right with God and build some and dig some wells and build some altars and step out by faith and do some things for God as God would permit you to do this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you'd please, Lord, help us. I know many times the devil will throw up our mistakes in our mind and try to hinder us and keep us from doing anything for you. But I pray that you please work through that this morning. Help us to get all those things right with the Lord.
put them behind us. We'll never forget them perhaps, but Lord, we can put them behind us and march on for God. Do the work and the will of God that you allow us to do in Jesus' name.